This is Wells Tech, a weekly show exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. Your hosts are Sally Draper and Martin Spriggs. Wells Tech is produced by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Welcome to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 517, recorded on October 3rd, 2017. My name is Martin Spriggs. This is a show about technology and ministry. We do it each and every week for 500 and some odd weeks, and helping me do that each and every week, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally, how are you?
I am very good, Martin. Happy to be joining you today. Happy to kick off a new series during the month of October on Wells Tech.
Very nice. The series, how do you think the series last month went?
Well, last month we talked about meetings, and actually I learned some stuff along the way, and I think our listeners were appreciative of some of the ideas we shared as well. We got a few comments here and there, and I like the concept of focusing on things a little bit longer and diving into different angles of them and things, so something new we're trying on Wells Tech this season, and I think it was a good start.
It was good to have the interviews that we had, some experts, quote-unquote experts in the field. Good to hear from them, good discussion starters. I think brought a lot to the show, and we're going to try and do that each and every month, too. Now that we're focusing on videos, there's a number of people that we could drag in and have a conversation. I think we're trying to do that again this month, so stay tuned for that. But today, we really just want to start high level, big picture, talk about videos in general, video in ministry, talk a little bit about content. We could probably talk for months about video. It seems to be everywhere.
It does. I think we figured this out quite a while ago on Wells Tech. We were doing some reading, and maybe it was a Shane Hipps book. I don't remember the title of it now, but just how our world is changing from a written communication world to a visual communication world. And that's reflected in so many different ways around us, and certainly it's reflected just in the last few years with the proliferation of video and the fact that you can self-produce your own videos and you have places to put them where you can share them with the world, and how that has impacted the world. I guess I'm reminded just very recently of the tragic events that happened in Las Vegas this past weekend, and people were tweeting and sharing video from the moment it happened. Right. And it's just a dramatic difference in the way that we communicate with one another.
Yep. Yeah, you referenced Shane Hipps' book, The Hidden Power of Electronic Culture, I think is the name of the book. If you haven't read it, it's a good read. We did a review on it many years ago now, but good stuff. And it does talk about, again, the power of verbal communication versus written communication versus things like video or the use of screens in worship. He addresses interesting stuff, pretty deep stuff. So it's not a long book, but worth the read. So we'll put a link in the show notes. So Sally, when we talk about video in ministry, where do you think the sweet spots are? What are some of the kind of the low-hanging fruit of video that you've seen congregations or schools use? What kind of content?
Well, I think it's obvious that you'd want to use content you're already creating. And for me, the thing that happens most regularly in church is worship services. So it's very easy to turn a video camera on of some sort. Maybe it's your mobile device. Maybe it's a more fine-tuned camera that has a lot more settings and quality to it, but whatever video it might be, you're already doing the work of preparing the sermon and those kind of things for worship. Why not share video of that so you can reach more people with the message?
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity because there's an event that happens each and every week at our churches. There are lots of events that happen at schools as well. And the convenience that we have of cameras, et cetera, make that a pretty easy capture. I think there's an element here, and we're going to talk about it over this month, about being a little bit more deliberate, a little bit more purposeful about what to capture and what people might want to watch. I think people are probably a little pickier than they were, a few years back. As they see video all the time, they can see, they can differentiate between, it's not, the novelty's gone, I guess. So I think the expectations are higher, and I think that ups the ante a little bit for churches thinking about getting into video. So there are lots of different things to consider, maybe things like storyboarding and putting a little thought into what you're going to put online, the frequency, the message, those kinds of things. So it's not just, I think, whipping out the camera and streaming it and say, hey, everybody, look. I think there's some, I think you want to treat this like any other ministry, right?
Right. Definitely being intentional with what you're sharing. The good news is one of those factors that people often use to decide whether to watch a video is the length of the video. And so Short videos are very popular, and the effort behind creating short videos may still be pretty deep,
right?
You may take the time to make sure you're getting the message out in that short amount of time that you want to share, but certainly it's got to be a little less on the production side if it's only a minute long. And so you can tackle these kind of things and not be too intimidated that it's going to be a huge strain on your time and energy to do shorter videos of that nature. Yeah.
When you're looking at YouTube or Vimeo or whatever, do you have kind of a threshold when you look at the the duration or the elapsed time that, hey, this is not something that I'm going to spend the time on?
I am more discerning these days, and I was just watching some video this morning, and I got a talking head to start with. And he was giving me a lot of great reasons why I should pay attention, but I really like to use the little slider bar at the bottom and go along the bottom and find when they actually are showing me something I want to see and jump around in the video that way. So that's probably, that's pretty common for me to jump to the points I'm looking for.
Yep. I do the same thing. Now that Facebook has is really kind of not overrun, but there's a lot of video on Facebook, more than there we used to be. One thing that I kind of like is subtitling, the ability to throw text over those videos so I don't actually have to play the audio if I'm in a place where I'm in line or doctor's office or whatever, and I'm just on Facebook. I can get a sense for what the video is about. And I think there's some value in that. And that's kind of that production time that I was talking about, that if you want to kind of reach that audience, you have to put in a little bit of production time and get comfortable with that. And we're going to talk about some of the tools. In fact, your ministry resource talks about a live streaming tool, at least to capture it and get it out there. So there's I think there's lots of components here. We should probably come back to the whole content thing. You talked about, obviously, the event of a worship service. There are more kind of, and that's mostly sermons, but I think there are other events or other things that could be pre-planned or scripted. I'm thinking of maybe church or pastoral welcome messages. Again, short, sweet, give a little bit of a face or a person or a flavor to what the congregation is all about, especially for that web visitor or Facebook visitor or YouTube visitor. Say, hey, I don't have a lot of time. I don't want to read a lot of stuff, but I will play a 3-minute video of somebody telling me, the highlights or the high points or why I might want to consider spending Sunday morning with these people. I get the same kind of thing for maybe a principal or somebody talking about the school. What do they have? In a ministry context, I wouldn't call it an advertisement. I would just say it's kind of a nice summary, a nice pleasant way to introduce somebody to your ministry.
Yeah, I think that you can also have regular communication in this more short form style, things like daily or midweek devotionals.
Yep.
Perhaps the school news could be produced in a way that it's shared via video rather than the traditional paper newsletter.
Right.
And you know, lots of little regular things. You can also tease events and, sure. You know, make a
30 second, 60 second, whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sermon series or school plays or a big sports event or whatever it may be that's happening in your church or school, you know, having a little bit of a teaser out there. And, you know, we've got a million communication channels this day. You can throw it right on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and all over the place if you make these different video vignettes.
As you're talking about school events, I was thinking that our school, our elementary school, has a weekly chapel service. And so there's an object lesson and one of the pastors or male teachers leads it. And that would be a great time to capture that and publish that. I think that would be of interest to maybe prospective parents about, you know, what goes on here. And those are sometimes maybe more interesting than just kind of the talking heads. There's some kids' reactions. There's visuals, those kinds of things. So got to think a little bit about, you know, got to get in the head of your viewer and try and figure out what events might play well, would be good introductory kinds of pieces of content for them. And then not just the content, but as you mentioned, the platform, you know, where are you going to put this? So it's, you know, YouTube channels are easy to get and set up. There's Vimeo, Instagram, Facebook, all of these have video platforms. It's not just imagery or text. There's places for quick videos, longer videos, collections of videos. Those are all available and easy to get at, and mobile for all of them, mobile friendly.
Yeah. One thing maybe we are missing, Martin, from the conversation, we've been very focused on producing your own video, and I think that's what we'll get into more and more this month, mm-hmm. but there's lots of great video content out there that you can also share. So you don't have to always be in creation mode. You can take advantage of content that other people are creating and share, you know, beautiful music or special services or short devotionals that another group is doing. A great example, Your Time of Grace. It started, I believe, at the beginning of last year, and they do a daily video devotion. It's connected with Time of Grace Ministry, and they have a website, yourtimeofgrace.org, where they post all their video devotions. They also have a YouTube channel, and you can go there and see all the video history. And it may not be today's devotion that you want to share. It may be one on a particular topic, so you could, you know, search for something. Speaking of the Las Vegas event that I talked about earlier in the podcast, they were very timely in putting out a Your Time of Grace video with devotional content around that, as people were struggling with the sadness that happened there in the mass shooting, and they ended with a prayer, and it was just a very comforting thing that would be easy to share with your congregation and school families and things, rather than having to create it yourself at times.
Yep. Yeah, you bring up a good point there too, and we'll talk more about that over the course of the month. Just the timeliness of the video is really critical and maybe most helpful in getting people to both watch, but maybe even just find your content as they're searching, and the relevance of the video rises, obviously, the closer it is to the event that you're talking about. So not that you're taking advantage of, let's say, a tragedy, but it's on your mind, it's on your heart and your prayers. So good thing to share.
Definitely. While we're talking about examples, I thought I'd do a little digging, and I did find some examples on Instagram, and these are little bitty short videos, for instance, from Cristo Rey Church, which is an ELS congregation in California. They did kind of fast forwarded through the setup of their outdoor service, and they have a fun video where you're just watching them set up the service setting for an outdoor service. Seems like a fun way to engage people and let them know what's going on. Christ the King in Palm Coast, Florida had some worship video from their 10-year celebration of their congregation. And you can see children singing and hear some of the music that was happening there and things. So just a little snippet can give people insight into the life of your congregation.
Very nice.
So we probably should talk a little bit about what the experts away from Wells Tech have to say about video. We did a little bit of research along those lines and found some great blog posts to share from the Church Tech Today website. Let's see if I can share my screen one more time. The first one is called Three Reasons Why Video Can Help Your Church Attract and Retain Guests. So they make some good points here. Familiarity opens doors. So just giving people the opportunity to see inside can make people feel more welcome and know what to expect when they visit. Video facilitates connection. Probably more like what you were talking about, Martin, with the pastoral introduction to the congregation or
personalized,
whatever.
Personalized. It puts a face to it, sure.
And then just kind of maximize the opportunity. Different areas, your pastor, the worship style, the children's ministry, things like that, where the people can see, you know, caring people and that kind of thing can really make an impact on people who are visiting your church via your videos. A couple of other articles, seven ways video can save your pastor time. I don't know if anybody's listening that's in the pastoral role that wishes they had less time. I'm guessing most would appreciate having some time savers. And so they're suggesting things like videoing your membership class, your Bible information class. And it doesn't mean that you aren't conducting those face-to-face, but that you've captured some of the teaching components of that and don't have to re-say them over and over again.
Good way for them to review or if they miss a class. Yep.
Excellent. And then video meetings, video website welcome, video updates, all those kind of ideas we've been talking about. Probably a good quick read for anyone who's looking into the possibility of different videos. And then there's one about using video to promote your next event. We made mention of that earlier. So just some ideas there for you from Church Tech Today if you want to do a little more reading and, you know, just kind of get the wheels going on how you might use video in your ministry.
Very good. So I think we've had a nice kickoff to our month of videos. So I think the next step would be to explore a little bit more into some of the tools, you know, that are available, a little bit more about how to prep and then distribute. So we've got some fertile ground ahead of us, and hopefully everybody will get something out of this. I think video is something you really need to pay attention to. So
looking forward to it.
Let's move on, Sally. Our next segment of the show is always news in tech. And there's been a lot of news in tech lately, especially coming out of the Amazon camp. Most people are familiar with the Amazon Echo, they launched a whole new family or upgrades to the Echo, Echo Connect, Echo Plus, Echo Spot, Echo Buttons, Echo everything. And these are kind of improvements on, existing products. There's a couple new ones. They've, increased the appeal of a couple of them. They put some different fabrics or colors on them, so they look a little bit better than this kind of sterile space gray or dark gray tube that sits on your coffee table. I think they've improved the capabilities and the speech recognition and the speakers in some of these, and they put screens on them. There's just a whole host of these. What do you think of the new lineup?
Well, I think the prices are coming down and the technology is advancing. And so if you've held off on the smart home concept, maybe now is the time, just in time for Christmas, of course, having these brand new prices and things.
Yep. All right. And we have anything else in news and tech?
Well, I just had to share. I'll put a link in the show notes to this satirical announcement about a new Martin Luther shaped Amazon Echo. It says it will rudely answer all your theology questions. This is
from the talk coming out of your
it's a fun read. I think it was Tom Rosenau who shared this with me over on Facebook. So just had to throw it in there since you were talking Echo today.
Very nice. We'll have a link in the show notes there. All right, should we move on to our Wells Now segment? And we have an interactive faith Bible class starting up again. Many of you are familiar with those. Interactive faith is essentially an online Bible study that happens, maybe quarterly, maybe it's three times a year. This one, obviously, in this year of the Reformation has something to do with that, and it's Pastor Joel Otto, or Professor Joel Otto, I should say, from Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, entitled Luther's Lasting Impact. Starts Wednesday, October 4th, so maybe by the time you're listening or watching this, we've got one in the can already, but it's offered at 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. on Wednesdays from now through, I think it's through mid-November. I think he's got six sections. There's a Bible study guide. You can do this on your own, but it's best if you do it with somebody. Maybe encourage your congregation or organization to consider getting people together to do this. Lots of good Reformation goodness, good Lutheran theology. So it's an opportunity for you to participate in a Bible study with other people across the nation, across the globe. We have internationals that international viewers or participants that tune in. So if you are of that mind, they are an hour. They keep them right at an hour. So that's what your commitment's going to be. It's from 6 to 7 or from 8 to 9. Those are central standard or central daylight time times. So if you're interested in that, that is starting Wednesday.
You know, Martin,
Sally, have you ever joined any of those?
I have. I've enjoyed them greatly. And our congregation has gathered for them at times as well. Mm-hmm. I'm just really enjoying all the Reformation excitement that's happening this month. And Kevin and I have been reading a new Northwestern Publishing House book about the Reformation protest of the Reformation. And it's almost like a cliffhanger every night of what's happening and who's where and what political and church leaders are involved and things like that. So there's much to learn about the Reformation, and I'm sure reading more about Luther's writings and things will be very edifying in the Bible study.
So. Funny that you mentioned that. They gave away free catechisms, new catechisms, mm-hmm. at Synod Convention this summer. So Debbie and I have been actually reading through the catechism. So it's another way to focus on, those important messages that came out of the Reformation. So
did they have two versions of that? Did you get the NIV or the
ESV? I got the NIV, yes.
You did. Okay. I think that's what I got as well.
ESV is available as well as the NIV. So if you're interested, go over to NPH's website and grab a copy.
I'm all about translations. We've been reading the new EHV that was, I think, also given away at Synod Convention. Did you get a copy of
the translation itself?
Yes.
I did not get a copy of that, no.
Maybe it wasn't given away. Maybe I just bought it. I don't remember, but I've been enjoying that translation as well.
Very nice. So. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to our picks of the week. And I'm guessing yours might have something to do with video.
It might have something to do with video, yes. One thing that was lacking in my toolbox, and maybe we'll hear more about this as we dig into tools, was a good video editor. I've used iMovie on the iOS platform, but I'm looking for a mobile video editor. And I did a little bit of reading, and the one that I found that was ranked really high and had really great reviews was something called InShot Video Editor Music Cut. And it's available for iOS as well as for Google, for Android devices from the Google Play Store, and has great reviews over there as well. And it allows you to edit video. You can do things like add music, add sound effects, apply filters, apply icons and things. You can string together multiple videos. You can adjust the speed of the videos that they play and, the filtering and things like that. So seems to be a pretty robust tool. I did a little bit of experimenting with some video I shot at MVL's homecoming this past weekend. And was really pleased with the results. It's nice to be able to just put, you know, text overlay or add a little bit to the video to make it a little bit more special. Throw a football on the homecoming video or whatever it may be. So you can get creative with your videos, and I think this is a good tool to do it. So if others have recommendations of mobile video editors, we'd love to hear about it at wellstech@wells.net, our email, or on our show notes. But that's the one I'm recommending for today, InShot Video Editor.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. All right. My pick of the week has to do with a kind of a quest that I've been on the last few days. Sally and I got our heads together and thought about mind mapping software, and because we use, as we've shared many times for 500 and some odd episodes, we mind mapped every episode. And I'm not sure if we're, you know, exploring all the strengths we use of the software Mind Manager, which is a fee-based application. And can't say that it's been the smoothest of rides. We've explored other options before and kind of have come back to this. One of the things that we really need to work well is collaboration, so that we can both be in the map at the same time. And that sometimes failed us. It works differently on different platforms, and the Mac version does not do that. There is no real-time collaboration. So, and I felt that mind mapping, and I'm also talking about this with my web design class, how to maybe plot out a website and some of the tools that you can use. And I wanted to find something that they could use. So I did a little bit of searching and some kicking of the tires. And one product that I was kind of impressed with, especially because it worked nicely with Google Drive and had the right price tag of free, was a product that I hadn't been familiar with, and that's called MindMup, MindMup. Kind of a little, a funny little name, but a nice little product. And the software, as I mentioned, works on Google Drive. There is a standalone version, but you have to pay a little bit to get any online storage. And I think one of the power that comes with some of these products is their collaboration features, as I mentioned. So the fact that this works on Google Drive was really attractive to me. There's a great video on their site about all of the features that they have added with version 2. This just came out. One of the things that they highlight a lot is its capabilities on touch screens. So there's a lot of movement in that direction. So the touch targets when you tap or hold an icon, pops up bigger menus. You're not trying to, you know, use your pinky to touch, you know, a little piece of text that's in a pop-up menu. So they've done a nice job with that. It works really well. I found it really works really well with Google Drive. It was easy to set up. If you're in a Google Apps environment, it is easy to add it as an available application that your students can get. So if you're looking for something that students can use quickly and collaborate on and is really easy to use, I think this might be a good option. They talk on their website, obviously, about the different accounts. The free one is the one that I've been kicking the tires on, but they also have one that is $2.99 a month or $100 yearly. They also have educational pricing, so if you're interested in exploring that, they have that as well. I opened up a sample map, and you have some limitations. The Mind Manager software is installable application. I was trying to stay away from that and look at web-based ones, so it really didn't matter what platform you were on. And so you have some limitations with keyboard shortcuts and dragging things onto the screen, etc. So you have to do a little bit more clicking, I think, with this than we have to do with Mind Manager, but I think it's tolerable. Once you know the keyboard commands, it's pretty straightforward. And one of the things that I think is useful, very useful in to use a mind map for, would be brainstorming. And so the speed of entry, so you're in a brainstorming session, let's say you're in a planning session, project planning session, you know, whatever it is, you don't want the software to stand in your way. And I think this tool does a nice job of that. You can add notes, attachments, links, those kinds of things. You can add coloring. there are some nice features here for organizing. You don't have a lot of control over what size your nodes are, but you do have control over connectors and all the things that you'd want in a mind mapping piece of software, the size of the text, etc. So I think there's a lot going for this. And then the shareability of this is really nice, where anybody else with, actually it doesn't even need to be in your own Google Apps environment. You can share with anybody with a Google account, and they can come in and co-edit with you, and works really well in that regard. So pretty impressed. The jury's still out. I haven't used this a lot, but I'm going to try it out with my class. MindMup is the name, and works, again, nicely with Google Drive. They say they're coming out with versions that work with other cloud storage solutions like OneDrive and Dropbox, those kinds of things. They just started with Google Drive, and I think they're going to increase the capabilities from there. So good stuff.
Yeah. Always happy to do mind mapping. I don't know if you mentioned, but you know, doing it fast is really important in brainstorming, like you said, but being able to drag them around easily and rearrange things and organize things after you get all your notes in there is so powerful to
me.
Great
organizational tool.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. The way my mind works. So
yep. Yeah, that's the concept. Throw everything on there as quickly as possible. Just kind of get it off your mind and then go back and then do the reorg in a make sense kind of way. So, yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's continue with the next segment in our show, which belongs to Sally, and that's ministry resources this week.
Yep, I'm up for a ministry resource, and I decided to tackle something brand new. And so this ministry resource perhaps is groundbreaking in that it starts with a disclaimer. I don't know if we've ever had disclaimers on our ministry resources before. But my disclaimer was that this is one of those ministry resources posts where we are going to learn together, because I've never played with YouTube Live. Many of you may know that we use Google Hangouts, and that recently Google Hangouts moved from Google Plus to being housed on YouTube. So I'd been to this Creator Studio dashboard in YouTube, and I'd been to the events area where I could schedule new live events and make them happen, but I'd never done the streaming options available through YouTube. So with not too much time left before recording time, I decided to tackle going live on YouTube. And I actually wrote this blog post to kind of chronicle my little journey through YouTube Live. And interestingly, it happened pretty quickly. I was pretty impressed with the tool and the ability that was there. So if you do go to your live dashboard, one of the challenges for me on YouTube is finding this Creator Studio and finding the live dashboard. It has a shortcut link, youtube.com/live_dashboard. So that'll take you directly there on your YouTube account. There's a little live streaming checklist in the upper right, and they actually kind of walk you through the things that you can do, give you some explanation. And at the top of the list is setting up encoding software. And one thing I've learned with some live streaming in my past is that typically there's external computer installed software to get the video into the right format for the live streaming. That's called encoding software. And they have a guide to encoding software where they list a lot of different software companies that offer encoding software. I kind of bypassed a lot of those. Interestingly, apparently the sweet spot for live streaming, or one of them for YouTube, is game streaming, because a lot of these are geared toward gamers being able to stream their online gameplay. But down at the bottom of the list, there was a link to an open source encoder called Open Broadcaster Software. So I clicked the magic green button, download the OBS Studio, and pretty quickly it downloaded to my computer and I got it installed. And I walked through the setup process, that one-time installation and setup, and they actually have kind of a wizard that'll do a lot of it for you. And once I got it all set up, pushed a few buttons and I was live streaming on YouTube Live. It's all handled by the encoder, so there's no magic button here on the YouTube screen. You actually have to do it in your encoder software, and then you'll see that you are live streaming. You'll see the live stream here on this page, and anyone watching would be able to see your live stream as well. Once you're done streaming, there's a button again in the software to stop the live stream, and then Google archives your streamed video to your YouTube account. So it's not just the one-time live stream. It is made available on your YouTube account, and you can share it just like you would any YouTube video. So I tried to capture all of that in video format on my blog post. Let's see if I can get to the right post. So you can actually go to my blog post and watch a video of me figuring all this stuff out. I did it in about 5 minutes. So again, not that difficult to get started with live streaming. And there's links there to all the different things that I used and a lot more help resources as well. I'm sure I'm just scratching the surface, Martin, of live streaming with YouTube Live, but it sure is easy to get started and to get your live stream going out there. So maybe an option people want to investigate. I will tell you one thing I learned that was interesting. I'd like to be able to live stream from my phone to be able to do that on YouTube, but mobile live streaming, you have to have at least 100 subscribers on your YouTube account before they'll allow you to do the mobile version of their live streaming. So you have to be somewhat popular before you can go mobile with your YouTube live streaming. So that's it. Scratched the surface, got a live stream. It all happened, and it's all chronicled in a video.
I'm proud of you, Sally. That's actually not a trivial piece of instruction that you provided. That's nice. I think one thing, I'm getting a little echo. Maybe that's just me. The thing I was thinking about with mobile video is you do have other options. Facebook Live makes it really easy, you know, to do mobile video. So that would be an option. You can post that later to YouTube. I think a live stream account allows you to actually stream two places, maybe even to YouTube, but the same restriction may apply. I don't know. But you're going to want, if you're doing any kind of multi-camera setup or you want you know, a little bit higher quality production, you're going to want to use a computer. And I think that's what you demonstrated there using that software. There are a lot of different software options. Some of the ones that we've talked about in the past, Livestream in particular, recently added YouTube as a source where you could live stream to, as well as their own service Livestream. And I think now there is a relationship. I thought I remember reading this. Livestream and Vimeo are together. So lots of different options. And this is going to be like falling off a log at some point where you're just going to be able to, whatever device you pick up, you're going to be able to do this. So lots of different options.
I was really kind of waiting for that falling off the log point, because to me that it's a little bit intimidating to jump into the live stream technical side of things.
And you've done video recording before. You've even done live streaming before from your iPad and such, right?
I have, using Final Web tools. Mm-hmm. But again, it takes that initial installation and setup and stuff that I was just a little too intimidated to try. But today I have overcome, and I think our listeners can overcome as well.
So how long did it take you to kind of get the wheels off the ground there?
Literally, I had a little trouble finding where to set up my web camera. But besides that, it would have been under 5 minutes. If you take that away, and I showed people where to find it now, so they don't even have that excuse, because it's all documented in the video. But it was pretty quick and easy.
Do you have to do any kind of authentication or be accepted to live stream, or what's the process for that?
Yeah, on that live stream tab, which I've closed now, I would show you, they do give you a private key. And in the OBS software, I copy and pasted that key in. You know, when I selected YouTube as my platform, it asked me for that key. And once I did that, the connection was established.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
And I do show that in the video as well. Not awesome. My private key, but where to find it.
Right. Yeah. So anybody can do it. So that's, and I think there's really, if you're doing video, there is probably a lot of compelling reasons to have a YouTube channel. That's where you're going to be found if you're looking to show videos to the outside world rather than come to our website and watch our video. People are going to discover you a little bit easier if you're on YouTube. So
you can always embed it on your website if you want.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, all right. I think we're going to move on to community feedback, and let's stay with the YouTube theme. I ran across or actually received an email, I think maybe this morning, yesterday, from, what's it called here? Let me just pull this up real quickly. YouTube Creator Update. I looked for the Creator Update. It's a newsletter, a monthly newsletter. The October edition came out, so I just we'll put this on our website for now. But if you go to the website, the Creator Update, Creator Monthly YouTube website, October isn't up, so it only came out in email form, but all the links work. I put it in a PDF for you, but some new features that they've added. This is a newsletter that really kind of helps you along, especially if you're just trying to figure out the feature set of YouTube. They talk about the ability to pin a comment, choose moderators, block links and words. The news this month was hold potentially inappropriate comments for review, which is kind of a big deal. If you're putting your stuff out there, you want to have a little bit of control over what gets posted in the comment area, or just restrict comments altogether. But that's somewhat defeats the purpose. So if you have a little bit more control over the comments, I think that is, you'll win. So they talk about adding that feature. And I've been through previous issues of this, and it's worth subscribing to. It only comes out once a month. And let me just go back to my website here. Those of you that are viewing at home, I can show you a couple other websites. So here's the Creator Monthly subscription page where you can kind of see previous issues. So there's a September issue here at the top. They talk about monetization and some other things that YouTube creators would be more interested in than maybe a church or school. But they also talk about lighting, what cameras you can use, how to keep up or keep tabs on your channel. They talk about some of the new features in the software, how to navigate maybe some of the things that you even struggle with, Sally, trying to set up the software. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that if you're getting out into the YouTube world, something definitely to subscribe to. And then there is something called the YouTube Creator Hub, where you can get to that newsletter from, but there's also other information and examples of how people are using YouTube. There's something called YouTube Academy. The Creator Academy is a huge catalog of tutorials made to challenge and inspire your creativity. They say the lessons will give you the inside scoop on how to shoot and edit amazing videos and make sure your viewers see them too. Sounds like a worthwhile time spent if you're responsible for creating these videos. The Creator Monthly, like I talked about, there's all kinds of good stuff here. So if you are kind of getting in that YouTube world, there are plenty of resources to help you out. So thought I'd share that on kind of a YouTube themed show here.
Awesome. Always something to learn. One thing I noticed was you can heart your comments mm-hmm. on your videos. And I just this week got my comment hearted. And it was like a big thrill that I connected with this YouTuber that I subscribed to. And they know me personally because they hearted my comments.
So, nice.
Yeah. So all kinds of little nuances there with your YouTube channel.
Yep.
I have a few more things to share under community feedback, Martin.
Great.
things that we are a little bit behind on because we realized that we had missed a couple of comments on our Wells Tech blog site. The first one is related to a ministry resource that you shared back at the end of August, Martin. It was called Portable Presentation Toolkit, where you brought out a lot of the things that you take along when you're presenting so that you're kind of covered in all circumstances. And there was a nice comment there from our friend Jim Bauer. Jim's a member up in Brainerd area, I believe. I can't remember the name of the congregation, Jim, but he says he watched your video 2 days late. On Sunday, he gave a Google slide presentation he made concerning Synod Convention. He was a delegate at Synod Convention this summer. We saw him there and got to visit with him a little. He said, I took my state-of-the-art notebook with me, confident that things would go smoothly. I never dreamt to check if my new computer had a 9-pin video port like the church's projector uses. It doesn't. Fortunately, the church had a laptop which would connect to the projector and their Wi-Fi, so I was okay. And yes, Sally, I made a special point of making sure I had my power cable. I think I admitted that was something I often, unfortunately, forget. He says, a side note, my must-have tool is a wireless mouse. And yeah, I definitely have one of those that I take with me everywhere. I don't care what computer is I'm set up on. A wireless mouse allows me to wander and control a PowerPoint presentation from clear across the room. I just hold the mouse and click the left button. So it's like your remote. Don't even have to aim it at my computer. The mouse wheel also advances or reverses the slide presentation if I need to back up. Of course, I can always set the mouse on any flat surface and have an instant laser pointer or navigate the computer remotely. So good point, Jim, and thanks very much for sharing.
Yeah.
One more comment. This one, you're popular with the commenters, Martin. This one's on your most recent ministry resource, OneNote for Meeting Management, that we talked about last week, I believe. And it's from our friend Perry Lund, who teaches
at Evergreen Lutheran. How did I know Perry would comment on this?
He's
a big OneNote guy.
Yeah, and he's out there in the Washington State area. He may as well be a Microsoft fan. That's where they are, right? Mm-hmm. He says Evergreen is using OneNote to organize our faculty and staff meetings, our agendas, minutes, reports, and links to Live, Excel, Word, and even Google Docs are part of OneNote. We can embed videos and pictures as necessary for our faculty notebook. The use of OneNote has been awesome. So there you have it, a great endorsement of OneNote from Evergreen Lutheran High School.
Yeah, a lot of my OneNote knowledge comes from things he has shared. So thank you, Perry, for expanding my OneNote knowledge.
Yeah, we probably should link to the Wells School's Office 365 group on Google Plus because that's a great place to learn more and share what you know about Office 365.
Exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. Sally, let's maybe hit the home stretch of the show by talking about a featured video. Imagine that.
Video on our video show. Yes, we do have a featured video, and it's from this past Sunday, October 1st, when a lot of people gathered at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary for a festival of hymns by Dr. Martin Luther. This was actually the kickoff event of this year's symposium on Reformation 500 at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary. It brought together the seminary's, obviously, men's choir, the Wisconsin Lutheran College Choir, as well as the Lutheran Chorale in the Milwaukee area. So three great choirs together to lead the singing and celebration of the Reformation, again, part of the symposium. And because they live stream up there at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, you can watch the archive stream of that. We'll have a link in the show notes to the Hymn Festival service folder as well. And not only that, but there were four great essays that were part of the symposium over October 2nd and 3rd, Monday and Tuesday. We had Luther and the Standards, Luther and the Scriptures, Luther and the Saints, and Luther and the State, presented by different essayists at the symposium. And those two were live streamed, and you can watch archives of those as well if you're interested. So Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary Symposium on Reformation 500.
Very nice. Sally, I think that's going to about do it for this week. Next week, as we mentioned, we'll be talking about video once again, a little more about live streaming, some video editing software, lots of options there as well. You mentioned something available on mobile. We'll talk about some PC or Mac-based video software that are our favorites and how maybe we even put this show together each and every week. Sources for stock video, all kinds of good stuff. And it will mark, speaking of OneNote, will mark the first show in 517 episodes where we've used OneNote to plan the show.
Yep, we're moving away from mind mapping because OneNote's such an awesome tool. We're going to give it a try.
Well, we'll see. One of the things, we'll get into it next week. We'll see how it goes first. We haven't done it yet, so we shouldn't even predict how it's going to go. But we're gonna give it a shot, the old college try. If you'd like to contribute to the show, we wish you would. Go to our website, wellstech.wells.net, make a comment on one of the show note blog entries there. That's how it kind of works there, or ministry resource if you like. On the upper right corner of the website, you'll see all kinds of little social connection icons, Facebook, Twitter, and the like. Just pick one of your favorite social networks, and you'll get right to how to leave a comment or question for us through those means. Or send us a good old-fashioned email, wellstech@wells.net is always an option. So if you have any feedback for us, we would love to include it in the show. If you want to remain anonymous, let us know that. We'll do that. We'll honor your wish. But we do want to share your thoughts. So hopefully that'll appear and you get your voice heard in show 518, which will be next week. Same time, same place, same channel. Thank you, Sally. Great show today. Then. Loved your ministry resource today. Keep up the great work. Thanks, everybody. We will see you next week. Bye-bye.